Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
Thank you. I'm Krista. It was very emphatic.
It was, yeah. I don't know. You gotta vary it, otherwise it's boring.
That's true. That's true. Brandon, how you doing?
Pretty good. It's We're recording this on a Saturday.
Yep.
The Leafs won.
Woo! You did well in your raid, you said.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my nerd thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask you about your nerd thing here in a minute. So,
I'm drinking gin. That's also part of our intro. Yeah, everything's good.
Nice.
Things are good.
It's just nice. I like that.
You've taken Christmas down.
That's sad.
It's kind of sad, but also refreshing.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, it's fresh start kind of feels, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels that way. Okay, well, since, yes, what is your nerd thing this week?
Well, I just finished the current raid in World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Go raid team.
You said it went well this week?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, so my nerd thing you're not gonna find very entertaining, but I think it's awesome.
Okay.
Okay, so firstly, my not so awesome one is I'm getting ready to go back to school, like, the day after tomorrow.
Wah, wah.
I know. Wah. I've been marking so much, it's not enjoyable. But, so,
like, the day this comes out, you will be back at school slaving away.
It's true. True story. But the exciting nerd thing, speaking of New Year stuff,
molding the future generation.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's the end of a semester through January, so it's just utter chaos, and I'm, like, trying to get ahead of it, but then I'm also, like, torn, because then I'm giving up the last few days of my break to,
that's
like,
how they make milkshakes.
Work and...
Utter chaos.
Oh, my God.
It's a cow joke. It's gonna be one of those kind of episodes.
Oh, no. Anyway... But my happier nerd thing is happy. So for Christmas, I got a happy planner. And you know how I like to bullet
journal? Happy planner!
Yeah, you know how I like to, like, bullet journal and plan and stuff like that? Now with less pulp. Nice Eurotrip reference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, but it's cool. It's, like, this new one, and I'm, like, very into it right now. And I'm, like, I like anything that gives me the illusion of having my life together.
Yes, you like pretending you're in control.
Exactly.
Even though you don't like making decisions.
Exactly.
Kind of like a juxtaposition.
But I like scheduling, like not making decisions.
Tragic Shakespeare character in that way.
Ooh, I love Shakespeare characters.
Foreshadowing. Okay, anyway.
Also, you already said what you were drinking, but do you care to elaborate?
I believe this is like a peach gin mix.
Yeah, it is.
It is January.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing dry January.
No.
Or dry February.
No.
That's not my thing.
No.
But I am giving up beer until I go on my cruise in March, mid-March. So that's quite a while without beer for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I like beer a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm just drinking nice, clean gin.
Yeah, it's a health drink.
That's what it was invented for.
That's true. And I'm also having gin, but mine is finishing up the... Christmas stuff. Very Merry Buble Bent. Buble. Bubbly.
No, I believe actually the Very Merry Berry one is called Buble.
I think it is, actually.
It's like on the box, it's like scratched out.
Yeah, because he's like embraces the Christmas so much that he just like, and there's that, all the ads are him doing that, so it works well with that. So anyway, it's festive, but it just tastes good.
Cool.
Yeah. So our Marvel, like, new episode is where that's what we're talking about this week.
Well, but let's talk about this coming week is a big.
I was gonna bring that up too.
It's another big week for Marvel.
It's true. So,
we're gonna go into like a content drought for Marvel and Star Wars, which is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's big time because we've just come off all the big What If dump. They came out one day after another, and now on Tuesday this week.
Yep.
We are getting all 5 episodes of Echo.
Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of slightly getting excited for this. It's like,
I am too.
The marketing's been like subtly very good. I've seen a lot of commercials for it.
Which is shocking because we haven't seen that for anything for a while.
It felt like they were like it's their experiment of doing a binge launch.
Yes.
They haven't done that for like anything on Disney Plus.
The closest would be this What If, actually.
Yeah, the one episode after another, one day apart, was kind of an interesting experiment. Mm-hmm. I think it would have worked well if we had a more normal Christmas experience, like people stay home and like just relax over Christmas, whereas
a lot of people do that.
Well, in the States, yeah, they do. Maybe. They do a lot, because the big family thing is Thanksgiving always. That is how the States go. So I could see that being kind of cool. You have like a new episode to work watch every week, and then like the Christmas theme episode was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that
so,
was cool.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, we're getting all Echo.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to attempt to watch it all. So we can talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Probably not all of it at once.
It's
five episodes. I don't know how long the episodes are. It's coming out at 6 p.m. Pacific.
Right.
On Tuesday, so we might watch a couple episodes Tuesday, and then like kind of spread them out throughout the week and think about it, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, theoretically, we're hoping we get them.
Otherwise, we'll just talk about I don't know,
something else. We've got a deep dive or two, or another
Golden
World
Zephyr
Star.
Deep dive on Zephyr.
Okay, well that's gonna be the episode after now.
Why is it always closed?
And it's not golden.
Or a zephyr. It's a zeppelin. Zephyr's a wind, okay?
Okay. Oh, man. Now I have to research the golden zephyr. Why did you say that one? You couldn't have picked something else, hey?
I tried to pick something that wasn't serious.
Yay.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay. News?
Sure.
Disney A News Update. Okay, we've got some big Disney news, but let's do a couple little things here first.
Yeah, start with the little stuff.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, at Disneyland Park, an Autopia car ended up jumped the track.
How?
I don't know, but it was like all over Instagram and got picked up on the news and stuff like that, and they were looking at it.
Okay, either like horrible mechanical malfunction or like just absolute obnoxious driving,
right?
Because those things do not go very fast. The track, like, I've more or less bounced back and forth accidentally on purpose just to see how it works.
Yeah, but how?
You would, if it's not, like, just catastrophic malfunction, someone was being a real jerk.
I mean, honestly, that's generally the case when things go wrong, right? World of Color 1, it was coming in 2024. This is a return to DCA. And they say it's actually coming this month.
That makes sense.
Well, it makes sense. They closed the holiday.
Yeah, they're wrapping up all the holiday stuff, so they're going to have new fireworks in Disneyland and a new World of Color in California Adventure. So
exactly.
Just these things make sense.
Of course. And then, right before we get to the big Disneyland news, and then our other news was, of course, Echo coming out right away. But the other big, there's Disneyland news on Instagram did a what attraction are you based on your sign? Do you want to know what attraction you are based on your sign?
Like your zodiac sign?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You are Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm okay with that.
Do you know what I am?
See, I would have guessed Capricorn would be Big Thunder Mountain because there's a goat.
There's a goat,
on it.
I know. Right?
And I was thinking Aquarius would be like Splash Mountain, but that doesn't exist anymore because of water.
Or Grizzly River Run or something, because it was doing
it was doing
the resort.
Both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is Capricorn?
I'm Space Mountain.
That makes no sense. I disagree vehemently with that one. Also, zodiac signs are dumb. But anyway.
Okay, ready for the big news? Do you have anything before I get to it?
No, we're all focused on Echo with your Marvels and your Star Wars.
So excited for Echo.
There's too much noise with that to get anything else in depth.
And all the other news is about Echo, like the level of violence in those trailers, for example.
I'm sitting here and it's 6:30 p.m. local time. And I'm watching a nice hockey game, which I mean, can be a little violent, mm-hmm. I guess. It's hockey after all. But then, it's from Disney Plus. Vanessa, you're a tiger in the mist. And then there's blood everywhere, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe they're showing that, let alone from a Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is pretty wild. Like, I'm excited.
Honestly, so I liked Echo as a character, and when I heard she was getting a show, I was like, yeah, okay. And then I heard Stumpy, and I was like, oh, that's not great. And then I started seeing the trailers, and now I am so excited for this. Marketing team, hats off.
Yeah, good marketing.
Okay, so you were at work, I was not, and then you messaged me that Disney released some news on just some light news on Thursday, that on Wednesday, January 10th, after 9 a.m. Pacific time, all four types of Magic Key passes will be going on sale.
I think the key words were no earlier than 9 p.m.
Yes,
9 a.m.
after 9
Pacific yeah. time, yeah.
So if this is anything like the last time, they'll only have them on sale for a couple days, varying. If it's like last time, we don't know that, but I mean, signs point to...
Yeah, like, I think they've been pretty happy with limiting the Magic Key / annual pass mm-hmm. the way they have. They've gotten more... single day tickets, which they yep. make more money on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't suspect it's going to be available for an extended period. Like
yeah.
in the before times, you used to be able to buy an annual pass whenever the heck you wanted.
Wouldn't that be nice? If you say we're at the park and could upgrade or something.
Yeah. Like that used to be the play. You would go to the park, you'd get your 5-day park hopper, and you'd get your two magic mornings. And then after that, you could take the value of that, mm-hmm. like, on your last hour, even.
Yep.
You could go and say, hey, I want to put this money that I spent on my 5-day park hopper towards
yep.
an annual pass.
Yep.
You can't do that anymore because they don't sell them.
No, exactly. The only way you could do that is if they happened to be for sale while you were there.
Yeah, they would still probably allow that, but...
When the last time they were on, I saw, like,
some
on
people
social
doing,
media,
yeah.
people leaving the park and running... to the guest services stands, right?
Just like upgrade my
yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But you have to happen to be in the park at that time. I'm like, they honored it last time. I'm sure they will again, but you know, I don't know. I'm not making any rules. Yeah, so, and when we were planning for our April 2020 trip, that obviously didn't happen.
Why would it happen?
Yeah, exactly. That was, we were very seriously considering doing that.
Yeah, so that was back when they had a really cool pass that had reservations. Like, what?
No.
What do you do with that?
Right.
But it was super cheap,
mm-hmm.
and so it would be worthwhile for us to have something that, well, you have to book your reservations, but it's only like $500 U.S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's basically triple that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
For one that would work with no blackout dates.
Few blackout, no blackout
days
Christmas that would
affect time,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, you're laughing because you have this Disney trip planned. You're going for a long amount of time, and
yeah.
then there's a side thought of us maybe going in August.
Yeah.
And
but we haven't decided on that, but we're like strongly
haven't decided.
Discussing
you,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you're like, does it make sense for me to get a big baller
yeah.
pass? Magic Key for like as a foreign visitor
yeah
who can't go all the time but is planning on maybe going a couple of times
yeah.
or maybe more, I don't know,
right.
but for a fair amount of days
yeah
and trying to price that out, and that's it's kind of an interesting topic.
Yeah. We have been discussing it a lot because the other thing is this trip I'm not doing with you, but if we went in August, I would be doing with you.
And I wouldn't be getting
and
a pass because I'm not going often enough. But you do get discounts on things you buy for your entire party.
Yeah.
So it can be worthwhile. I don't know. I have to make a spreadsheet.
Why did you... But for Vanessa?
Yeah. That's my kingpin's
oh,
accountant.
Okay.
Kingpin's accountant. I don't know.
So, I don't know. I'm like 50-50 right now on if it's a good idea, and I just need to see a spreadsheet, basically. The problem is, because I'm tied to the school calendar, I have to get the most spendy one for it to make sense.
Right, because, well, you're already booked to go over Easter break, mm-hmm. and there's some days that are open on what the second tier,
yeah, believe key,
but the weekends are not.
Exactly.
And that's, it's not worthwhile to get the Believe key, because that's like half your days exactly. that you're there for, mm-hmm. right? So you'd have to upgrade to the top tier, mm-hmm. but that does give you a bit of more of a discount as well, so kind of offsets that.
Yeah,
you're gonna be going to your food and wine festival and getting mm-hmm. some Sip and Saver passes. You get discounts on that. You're gonna be buying a Spirit jersey, I'm sure,
and
probably ears,
and
probably a lounge fly or three. I don't know.
Hey, I've never bought a lounge fly in the Disney parks.
Until this year.
I've had one bought for me.
It's true.
But, I'm fully intending to. My mom and sister both have lounge flies as well from parks, and I think we're gonna go shopping in Downtown Disney on our first day. My mom also wants the band. The Magic Band.
Magic Band
Plus is what I was trying to throw the plus in there. I couldn't remember where it was. I was like, the Plus Magic. The Magic Plus Band.
Plusy Magic Band. Yeah.
So we're going to kind of do that and maybe do like a Goofy's Kitchen or Storytellers or something like that. So I'm sure we'll do some shopping, and I'm sure a lounge fly will be involved. I'm only bringing one lounge fly with the intent that I will buy another one.
You realize how that insane that sounds to, like, normal people. This is why they make fun of Disney adults, okay?
Hey, I'm probably only going to bring one Spirit jersey because I have my food and wine from last time.
Well, you have to take your food and wine.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to for sure bring that one.
You probably don't need another food and wine because last year's was perfect.
It was awesome. No, but, yeah, I'll definitely be looking at the merch and stuff like that. So there's also that factor. But I don't know. I'm also kind of stressed about not having to do reservations. But with that one, you get 6 reservations, and we're going to go for a total of 8 days while we're there.
And it's compact, so you would have to be, like, getting new reservations every day you go to get all the days you want.
Exactly.
So there is a little bit of stress involved with that.
Because what if I don't get one of those days? Exactly.
What if?
So anyway, this is our thought process. You're going to make a spreadsheet, and we should use that "what if" Sugui to talk about the
what
topic.
If?
What if?
But yeah, we will talk about this more, our decision for or against, because I think it's interesting as a Disney travel podcast.
Yeah, to actually, like, weigh pros and cons on this.
Yeah, and maybe by the time our next episode is out, well, we will have made the decision.
Yeah.
And it probably won't be useful to anyone because they won't be on sale anymore. But anyway, we're thinking about it.
But it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it'll still, talking through it may be useful, though.
Sure.
Like talking about, like,
I think it's fun
the
anyway.
Thought process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people would assume that people who get that key are the locals who go all the time, and I think most of them are.
Yeah.
But also, like, us who are the ones
random childless millennial teachers in Canada also might want that key. I don't know. Just as an example. Just like a random thing that I
well, it's
threw
tough
out there.
Because, like, very few are tied to the school calendar like that.
Yeah, unless you actually have kids that you don't want to take out of school, which is
I have
pretty
had
rare.
Like 4 of my students go to Disneyland so far this school year, and I'm always like, aw.
I would recommend if you're wanting to go to Disneyland and you have kids, just take them out of school. School's not that important.
I'm hitting you.
A week or two of school is not that important.
Also depends on how old the kid is.
Well, yeah, like, you're, like, if you have your graduating year, you're graduating, and you got, like, your very important tests, your SATs or your provincial exams or
diplomas.
Whatever they're called, wherever you're from, maybe not the best idea.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be a little strategic about it, but, like, I don't know, in the middle of grade 9, doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, you have a 4th grade kid. I'm saying this as a teacher. Take the kid, little kid, though.
I missed some school to go to Disney World when I was in grade 9, okay?
Ah, I see. My students have been grade 10 who went, and they're mostly fine. That's mostly fine. Go earlier in the semester as opposed to later, if you're debating.
I mean, that makes sense, too.
It's also cheaper, then.
November was a great month.
I had one student who went in, I think, September, and one who went in December or end of November. Easier earlier in the semester.
Yeah, no, November was a great month. Christmas is on, and I didn't miss
any. Ooh, go in October and be there for Halloween.
Halloween is good, too. That's the other thing we have to think about is, like, trying to hit Halloween with your Magic-y pass.
If I get one. I don't know
if
yet.
You get one. Okay.
You're talking more like...
What if you get one?
What if we segue to the main topic?
Okay.
Disney Plus and chill.
Brandon, before we go through What If Season 2, like, general overall thought, what did you think about it?
Okay, here's the thing. The first season of What If, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of going to be kind of fun. I don't know, whatever. Animated. I like superhero animated stuff.
For sure.
DC live action's been really terrible. All their animated stuff is really good. It's a different department of WB, and it works like really well. So I was like, okay, well, if they step up their game with Marvel and some animated stuff, a little offshoot, that could be fun. And then it like knocked it out of the park and was cohesive story, and they kind of pulled some of it into live action with the Doctor Strange movie, the whole Captain Carter thing, a little bit.
Right.
And they're kind of playing off of it, of course, because it's all the whole multiverse saga and everything like that. So my expectations were a little higher with season two, but I was kind of like, oh yeah, you know, what if they're gonna do another thing? It's gonna be fun. They're gonna have a like Die Hard Christmas episode. Yeah. That's cool. That's gonna be fun. This was way better again.
It was way better again.
I don't know.
It was so much fun. Like, it was fun watching this.
Every episode was amazing.
Yeah. I don't think they had any spots.
Zero duds. Like, some were better than others.
Agreed.
But there were zero duds.
Okay. Well, as we go through, I'm going to ask, we're going to kind of talk episode by episode. Let's go do, like, super short summary, and then just,
yeah,
if this was your favorite.
Spoiler warning, but we're not going to go over every plot point. We're not going to discuss every single episode.
No, because we're not tearing it apart.
I don't think a lot of people will have watched this. So this can be like, you're just like, we're telling you to watch it. And season one, for that matter.
That's true. We have an episode about that. I don't know which number it is, but you should go listen to it.
We do have an episode about that, but just, like, they're short. They're only half an hour an episode.
Yeah.
And it's, like, concentrated fun.
Yeah, it's literally so fun. And each one is asking the question of what if this happened. So
to preface this, you have to be kind of an MCU fan, because the whole premise is, you know what happened already, and we change one slight thing, this is what happens.
Yeah, so let's actually, before I go into this, the perfect example of that is, who was a big fixture both season one and especially season two, is Captain Carter.
Yes.
And season one, back in What If Season One, episode one was, what if Captain Carter, like, what if Peggy Carter became, instead of Captain America, instead of Steve Rogers, right? And so then that was the whole premise of it, is what if she was in the machine instead of Steve?
Yeah.
What would happen? And she becomes Captain Carter.
She gets all jacked, and she becomes, like, a Captain Britain instead of Captain America.
And also, I love Captain Carter.
Is also a character called Captain Britain, but that's in the comics only.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But yeah, she's got the Union Jack on her chest instead of the Star Spangled Banner kind of thing.
So the idea is there's, like, one change or one event that happens, and it changes everything. And we have a narrator kind of through our whole series who's called The Watcher. And sometimes...
voiced by Jeffrey Wright, who has, like, the most soothing voice since Morgan Freeman.
They even talk about
that. They even talk about it, because what a voice.
Well, this is a great voice.
Oh, my
goodness. A great voice. Okay, so each of these is just asking a question, like, what if? But there are, like, threads that go through and overlap. Okay, so now we're talking season two specifically. So episode one in season two is, what if Nebula joined the Nova Corps?
Right, which is... an interesting throwback, because you're like, what's the Nova Corps?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go all the way back to Guardians 1.
I was like, what?
To remember what the Nova Corps is.
Okay, I don't know if you could tell or not, but when I saw the title, I was like, I don't remember
what I don't know what that is. No.
And then it started, and I was like, oh, okay.
They're kind of a bigger fixture in, like, the cosmic comics.
Okay.
They're like space police.
Right, okay.
And, you kind of get it from the episode, but they're a bigger deal than they were made out to be. They were actually cut from time in Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
It was like Thanos showed up and beat up Hulk and Thor and killed Loki, and he had already gotten the Power Stone because the Power Stone was on Xandar with the Nova Corps. He just blew them up.
Okay.
And that was cut for time.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Which is unfortunate, but anyway, Nova Corps kind of a big deal, and then we get a really neat film noir style. Mm-hmm. Almost very Blade Runner-esque.
That's what you kept saying. You had serious Blade Runner vibes. Can I say who's in this who I loved?
Sure.
Howard the Duck.
Yes! So cool!
So good!
We've had little brief glimpses of Howard the Duck, which is just the weirdest piece of Marvel lore that ever happened.
Howard the Duck teams up with Groot, Meek, and Korg. And, helps out Nebula.
So, they all get stuck on Xandar, and Nebula is a cop, and Howard the Duck runs this, underworld thing where Korg and Meek are his, henchmen.
Yeah,
it's very fun, and anyway, I mean, just watch it.
It's so good.
Okay,
so, and then episode
2. I'm just gonna say it's cool a lot, this episode.
Yeah, I'll just get used to it.
It's like, okay, the episode title is...
What if
season 2 it's cool.
All right. What if Peter Quill attacked Earth's mightiest heroes? This one almost made me cry.
Well, Peter's story is kind of sad, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. We get a nice young Ego again,
mm-hmm,
and that's
true.
That's fun.
Yep.
We get a super young Peter because
he's a kid.
Because he's a kid in this, yeah. And but we get basically the same daddy-mommy issues that Peter is, part of his character and just manifests a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting.
Yeah. So this one actually takes place in 88. And, yeah. And the thing that changes in this one is the Ravagers, instead of Yondu keeping Quill,
Instead of being his daddy, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get a paycheck.
Yep. And so it's like, what if that happened?
Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about this is we wouldn't get the Guardians Christmas special because Yondu's the impetus behind that. So
Yondu is just awesome all over. Yondu was the
Yondu Yondu dies in the first episode too.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was in that. Poor Yondu.
His corpse was in it.
Yeah,
that was the inciting incident of episode one. So yeah.
Yondu's death.
No.
Episode 3. What if this was the one I was most excited for? Happy Hogan saved Christmas, and it was Die Hard.
This is like Avengers Die Hard.
It was amazing,
and that's all you need. That's all you need to say. It was Avengers Die Hard. It was amazing.
Oh, but the big focus of this, obviously Happy, but Darcy is also.
Darcy is the I forget his name from Die Hard. The cop.
The cop on the ground.
The cop on the ground. That's
who was in Family Matters.
Yes. she plays that character. They make reference to it, actually.
I know, it's so good.
It's so good. Oh.
It's so, so good. Oh, and, what's his face was in there? Justin Hammer.
Right. So, Justin Hammer from Iron Man 2, I think he was
I think so.
He's the rival arms dealer to the Stark Industries.
Mm-hmm.
And he is mad at Tony Stark for ruining his business and sending him to jail. So he breaks out and breaks into Avengers Tower to steal all Stark tech.
Yeah.
And it's very, very Die Hard.
Yeah, it's so good. And it shows what all the other Avengers at that time are doing. It's great. Natasha's at a Russian ballet.
Nutcracker.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So that was super fun. It did not disappoint. I was so, so excited for this one.
Yeah.
It made me very
I was
happy.
Worried about it being disappointing,
mm-hmm.
but it was so good. I was like, we can't top this. It's so good.
I was like, this is going to be easily my favorite. And that was funny that I thought that. also we were talking about amazing actors that are underrated that you're always like, every time you hear him, you're like, oh man, he's so good. And there's a couple that have shown up. Sam Rockwell is one of them.
Oh, yeah, Sam Rockwell. Yeah. So, character actors that they're not the stars, but they're just, really good, and they're always somebody, but, and you see them on screen, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, he's so good.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Sam Rockwell's a good one. And the other one that we made us say that originally was Stanley Tucci, which I completely forgot was in the MCU in the first Captain America movie. He's the scientist.
And I feel like I'm so, like, I can't believe that slips my mind. I actually show a clip of him talking every time I teach a creative writing class. Because we talk about characterization based on action. And it's the one where Steve pulls the pin to get the flag, and it's just like, they have to characterize him, and then they characterize Stanley Tucci's character just like raising his eyebrow and like smirking, and, right? Because that's what he wanted. Yeah.
And the fun thing about What If is they get a lot of the original actors back to voice their animated characters. Not 100% of them.
Which brings us to episode 4: What If Iron Man Crashed into the Grandmaster?
So, one of the characters that they don't get to come back, or one of the voices they don't get to come back to a voice their original character, is Robert Downey Jr.
Exactly.
They have a pretty good imitation, though.
I actually looked him up. His name is Mick Wingert. At least he was in this one.
Really good imitation.
Yeah, very good. Total suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, you just pretend. You can tell if you like listen really closely, it's not actually him, but it's good imitation.
And especially in this episode, I found it like didn't faze me at all.
He's the main character in this episode, which he's been the main character in a lot of What If episodes, actually, Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of season one was actually Iron Man just, like, dying a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't die in this one.
No, he doesn't. In this one, though, so during the Battle of New York, you know how he, like, falls back in at the right moment? In this one, no, he doesn't.
He goes to Sakaar like Thor Ragnarok.
Exactly. And so that's the What If, moment, right?
We do get Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
Which is amazing.
And this one was in a lot of trailers, and people are like, it looks like Mario Kart.
It's Mario, Mad Max. Mario Kart crossed with Mad Max Fury Road.
But Avengers.
And this one is actually the one that was cut from season one.
Okay. Yes.
Because it introduced us to Gamora with the Thanos sword that we just saw in the finale, and we're like, where the heck did she come from? Because everyone else had their own episode.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Gamora doesn't get an episode. That
I don't know
sucks.
What's going on.
No, but she's in this one.
She's in this one, and they actually kind of call back to that in the intro. It's like, hey, you met everybody else, but here's Gamora.
I enjoy that they actually address that, and we're like, hey.
It was a little bit of, okay, anyway, here's this episode, but I get it. They didn't have time to finish it, I guess. I don't know. Also, Tony didn't die in it, and he died in every other episode in season one, so it didn't really work.
Right.
Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
So, then episode 5 is the one that was hinted at, foreshadowed, at the end of season one, and that is, what if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? As we know from season one, the Hydra Stomper had...
So, here, season one, it was Peggy became Captain America, and so Bucky didn't become the Winter Soldier because he wasn't, like, best buddies with Captain America or whatever, but Steve Rogers never became a super soldier, so he had, like, a kind of Mark One Iron Man suit that Howard Stark had developed, and he was helping Peggy fight and stuff like that.
And Bucky was helping him.
Yeah, he was just regular Bucky, but he never had that whole side thing. So this one is Peggy had disappeared to do her What If stuff, and Steve had continued in his Hydra Stomper thing to stomp out Hydra, and he ended up getting captured.
Yeah.
And they turned him basically into mechanized Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
And then they also had tie-ins to, like, the Red Room, and it was a whole... There were many layers.
Many layers, yeah. So the Russians captured him.
Well, we got to see an elderly Bucky Barnes in this one.
Yeah, because he actually becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
or...
instead of Robert Redford.
Right.
And I don't know what his name was.
Robert Redford.
Yeah.
It was Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't evil, unlike Robert Redford.
No, he's just Bucky.
He's just Bucky. Bucky doesn't go evil.
No,
unless
never.
He gets brainwashed.
Except then. And then he's really evil.
But yeah, so they go to take down the Red Room because, of course, the Russians are bad and they have a Red Room and train Black Widows. And they don't go up into the Red Room and surf down the debris.
Because
that would be weird.
That would be weird.
But they blow it up anyway, and
I was gonna
whatever.
Say, so...
Save the day.
Episode 6 was a very... This one introduced new heroes for the first time in What If history.
That's true,
and
yeah.
And it is, what if Kahori reshaped the world? So the what if in this...
And I'm not even smart enough to know if this is, like, based on any comic or anything. I don't think it is.
After Surtur... I'm saying that wrong.
Surtur, yeah.
Surtur destroys Asgard during Ragnarok. The Tesseract crash lands...
He's the big fire guy that kills Hela.
The Tesseract crash lands in a lake in pre-colonial America, giving the lake magical properties. A lot of this episode, like, basically all of this episode is in Mohawk
language. Yeah. And there's subtitles, obviously, yes. For most of it. Some of it they don't, like, for dramatic effect. But yeah, it's full on Mohawk language, which is pretty cool.
This was a super cool episode. It was totally different.
Like, on paper, I wouldn't be super excited for this one, but they did a very good job.
I thought so.
And it was super fun, and, like, to introduce a new hero in something like What If is a wild choice.
I was gonna say, challenging at best.
Yeah! And it worked really well.
Yeah.
She actually reminds me a lot of the original Prey game from, 2006, maybe it might have come out.
Is that the one that they did the new movie on?
No.
Oh, because that was so good.
No, you're thinking Predator.
I was thinking Predator.
Also that a little bit.
Yeah.
No, this game...
Just that, like, falling into it in this, yeah.
Yeah, no, so the game I'm talking about, it... follows a Native American who gets attacked by aliens and then gets, like, super powered by, like, ancestral stuff
cool.
And can create portals and things. So like, it had some vibes of that. Not entirely related, but just, like, Native Americans with portals. I don't know. That's where my brain went.
Yeah, she has such cool powers in this.
Oh, she's strong.
She's very
strong. Yeah. She's strong.
And the premise behind this is conquistadors enter the lake believing it to be, like, the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
And bad things happen.
The general gist of it is conquistadors are jerks.
Yeah. So, but it actually happens, like, when it says, what if she reshaped the world? It's like, what if that hadn't happened because they stopped them because they had all these powers and stuff. So, it even has her, should we say what happens at the end of this? Because it's kind of setting up the finale.
She just gets powered up, right?
No, she goes to Spain.
Okay.
And she basically is talking to Queen Isabella and is like, you stop sending your people. And she says, like, basically, we're super powerful. Like, what are you talking about? And she says, no, we will have peace or you will, like...
Yeah.
Right? And then in the middle of that, a portal opens.
Ah.
And Strange Supreme...
From season one.
Yes. Walks in. And I think I squealed at this, actually. And he says, world peace in, like, 30 seconds, in 40 minutes or something like that. Like, good job. Or, because it was the length of the episode. It was funny. And then he says, I've been looking for you, Kahori. And then it ends.
Hmm.
And you're like, wow, we're going to meet Doctor Strange next episode.
No, we
but
don't.
But you're not.
No, no.
Instead, what if Hela found the 10 rings? And right away I was like, that would be bad.
That would be bad. You assume that would be bad. We've only seen Hela kind of being bad, hot, but bad.
Really? You're going for hot, eh?
Oh yeah.
Cate Blanchett does return as Hela.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
Yeah. Idris Elba is back, and yeah. I think everyone.
Anthony Hopkins is not back as Odin,
no,
obviously,
no.
But he's pretty old now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That would, yeah. Anyway, doesn't matter.
But the premise behind this is going back to when we found that, you know, how Hela was with Odin and then he grew concerned about her bloodlust, right?
And he sends her to hell.
Yes, but in this one, instead, he does what he did with Thor.
Like a mirror image of
strips her of her power.
Banishing her to Midgard with... Instead of the hammer,
it's
her crown. And it works so good. Cause just
but
like,
when he sends her is right when Wu is like...
From Shang-Chi.
Is traveling around and gathering some power and hasn't gone crazy.
Well, so he hasn't met Shang-Chi's mother
exactly.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't gone to Tao Lao.
Right, because it's the grief that drives him crazy.
Yeah, that's what drives him crazy. When he first gets the Ten Rings, he's like marauding around the world to take it over because he wants peace. He's kind of a Thanos figure, Earth-based Thanos figure. He wants to go around and just conquer everyone so that they don't kill each other anymore.
Yeah, basically, he's like, so I can take care of you because you guys suck at it.
Yeah.
So he's doing that, and they see the crown, and then it's basically a mirror image of the whole Thor thing. There's definitely, like, a little bit of flirtation going on with pretty heavy-handed flirtation.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly on Wenwu's side.
Wenwu's kind of a horny dude, because he, like, goes to Tao Lao, and he sees the powerful woman doing like, airbending and stuff. And he's like, ooh, I want me some of that. Well, he sees Hela, like, beating up all his guards and stuff. And he's like, ooh, I want me some of that.
He likes, you know, there's nothing wrong with a man appreciating a strong, powerful woman.
He does. He always does. It. Like, he
has a type.
he does. And, like, he fosters the strength in his daughter as well in Shang-Chi, if you remember
that.
So, like, no, he likes strong women, which is good.
Oh, good job,
it's a positive aspect of his character.
So, in this one, Hela's kind of captured. She, Wenwu offers, like, to have her help him, and she instead runs away. So she instead finds
Tao Lao
with, what was his name?
The butt donkey flying thing that hung out with Trevor Slattery.
Yeah, that one.
I forget what he called
it was
though.
Like, it was something silly like Michael or something.
Yeah, something silly like that. Anyway, adorable, and I still want a stuffed one.
I know, so bad.
They exist somewhere. I would like one.
Yes.
Very much.
Please, tell us where to find one.
Anyway, I do think Kate Blanchett had a lot of fun with this episode.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And so she trains in some martial arts. She has a little martial arts montage. And she learns that being a good person is better than being a bad person. And she uses the power of the light.
Morris.
There you go.
Okay.
I want a Morris too.
Yes, she uses the power of the light because darkness cannot defeat darkness. Only light can do that. So when
she becomes Hela the White,
exactly,
just like
Gandalf.
and is like, Odin, you're a terrible father, and you don't deserve a throne. And he's like, you're right.
Yeah, he's not a good dad.
No, he's really not. Like that's. We've talked about this before, and the theme of, like, most superhero things is daddy issues.
Yeah, we have an episode about it.
Odin is, like, the source of most of the MCU's problems because of all the daddy issues he's caused.
Actually, and I laughed out loud literally a few times during this episode with Hela. Like, Kate, like you said, Kate Blanchett.
She was having
so much fun.
She was having a lot of fun.
When she's just, like, complaining about her daddy issues. It was so good.
She's a little bit more self-aware about her daddy issues than most of the people.
That's true.
But, yeah, anyway, daddy issues. Okay.
Definitely. And then we have episode 8. What if the Avengers assembled in 1602? Oh my god. The premise behind this, actually, so this picks up at the end of the Captain Carter and the Hydra Stomper one.
She gets sucked into a portal.
A red portal.
A red portal.
Weird.
Weird, yeah, Wanda. Super weird.
Wanda.
Yeah.
And so, in a Renaissance-themed universe, Captain Carter, her name is, and this is Merlin Wanda? Wanda Merlin.
Merlin Wanda.
And Sir Nicholas Fury is helping Queen Hela at this point, because there's been, like, time rifts happening, and they think that she can help them stop it or something.
Yeah, you got an Elizabethan era stuff going on, but they have portals in the sky, and the magical advisor has said, well, I'm gonna bring you a hero.
Yeah.
And that's Peggy Carter, so that's why she's there. And but they're watching a Shakespeare play.
They're watching Hamlet.
They're watching Loki perform Hamlet. And Tom Hiddleston is just like,
and he's so happy.
He's having a blast.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite nerd things, because it's like combining so many of my nerd personalities.
So many.
I'm a massive Shakespeare nerd.
Yeah.
And
this is true.
So like, oh my god.
Probably too much. But.
Probably. But I'm a massive Shakespeare nerd, and one of my favorite Shakespeare tragedies, but it's like tied with Othello, which gets mentioned a lot in this, is King Lear. And Loki said that at least in... Tom Hiddleston said that the character of Loki...
He embodies Loki, so yeah, fair.
The character of Loki, at least in the first few phases, was based on... Well, at least until Avengers, was based on Edmund from King Lear. Tom Hiddleston is a classically trained Shakespearean actor. Like, he's amazing. And in here, he just got to, like, do it.
And interestingly, the director of Thor,
yes.
Kenneth Branagh, yes. was also classically trained Shakespearean actor. Yeah.
Yes, he did so many Shakespeares. And so basically, I think this was just Loki being like, or Tom Hiddleston being like, I want Loki to do a bunch of Shakespeare stuff.
Or Loki wanting to... Loki wanting Tom Hiddleston to do a bunch of Shakespeare stuff.
Getting there. I was going to kind of save that for the end.
Oh,
the final
okay. Yeah, well, you brought it up. Okay, anyway.
But it was just, it was so cool. It's 1602. Like, Loki keeps bringing up that his buddy Will is working on a new play, and like the focus of it is Iago.
It's basically Iago is the main character.
There's some other guys, but it's mostly Iago,
which is hilarious
because of course he would think Othello is actually about Iago. Yeah. So anyway, that was really fun. I really liked this episode.
So we don't really like it. It's Elizabethan. We got lots of references to basically your big pop culture moments from Elizabethan era. Yeah. You got some Robin Hood going on. You got
the pipes are calling. Oh,
just amazing. And like all your Shakespearean references. Mm-hmm. It's just so good.
Oh, I really enjoyed the Hulk type. Oh, Man in the Iron Mask.
Iron Mask.
I really enjoyed when Hulk does smash. It was Hulk smash thee.
Which is cheesy and hilarious.
No,
and
it's perfect for this, though.
Yeah, no, just perfect.
And
I loved
it. And it was a callback from the Happy Hogan Saving Christmas episode, which is really cool.
Yeah, so they kind of tie that into his, like, character.
In that universe.
Yeah, I don't know. This was the penultimate episode. I was probably most looking forward to this episode, maybe after Happy Hogan, when I heard about all of them. And it absolutely delivered.
Yeah.
And it's going to be my favorite episode of the season.
Mine too.
The next one kind of goes like bonkers high-end stuff.
There was
but
some
this,
really cool stuff.
This one had everybody in it.
Yeah.
And like your cast list, your voice acting list at the beginning
of
the episode.
You're like,
they're in it? They're in it?
Here we go. Hayley Atwell, Samuel L. Jackson, Elizabeth Olsen, Chris Hemsworth, as King Thor Odinson, by the way. Mm-hmm. Tom Hiddleston, Mark Ruffalo, Jon Favreau, Mick Wingard is back as Tony Stark,
mm-hmm.
Josh Keaton as Steve Rogers / Rogers Hood.
Rogers Hood, yeah.
Paul Rudd
is in it.
Sebastian Stan, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Lake Bell plays Natasha Romanoff, which was only just at the very beginning clip.
Just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only original Avenger that doesn't get sucked back to 1602, which is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. There could be some...
Of all of them, like, because we don't see Hawkeye at all. Like,
well, Hawkeye doesn't count.
Oh my god.
It's just chock-a-block full of references and characters and just wonderfulness. And it's based on a comic book series,
mm-hmm.
well, a miniseries, co-written by Neil Gaiman, which
I know.
He's an incredible writer.
So good. I said I've never wanted to read a comic book series so badly as I now want to read. When I had heard about them before, I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. I should read that. And now I'm like, oh my god, I really need to read this.
All episode 8 issues are available in an omnibus on Amazon.
Is it in the cart?
It's in the cart right now. I haven't ordered it. But it's in the cart.
But I have a birthday coming up. We both have birthdays.
I already bought you a birthday present. So
buy it for your own birthday?
It's just going to be... It's just going to be discounted.
We're going to share it anyway. Whatever. But anyway, yeah. With Neil Gaiman, who can tell a story like...
Mm.
So, this is cool. I had a lot of fun with this one. And then you find out exactly how they all showed up there, and it's a whole thing. And then we end the episode with Strange Supreme showing up.
Yeah, and he makes whiskey.
Yes, well, that's the beginning of the next episode. Oh, but yes, okay. He does. What if Strange Supreme intervened? So that's the whole thing, is the Watcher's not supposed to intervene, right? And
he just watches.
He just watches.
Kind of a voyeur type of guy.
Okay, so Strange Supreme has come to collect Captain Carter, who's, like, stuck in 1602.
Yeah, because she saves them all, but he was like, hey, you if you save them, you might get stuck here. And then she's like, oh, dang, I'm stuck here.
Yeah, but then Strange Supreme shows up. And they're like, hey, we worked together in that finale of What If episode season one, buddy.
Yeah, last season. We're friends.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're friends.
So let's have a whiskey, and then I've got a favor to ask you. So he takes her to his, like, weird dungeon palace, where he's been capturing universe killers to atone for his sins, and asks her for help capturing an escaped variant who fled to a universe where Hydra used the Tesseract to destroy the world. And then he's like, and then I'll send you back. So Carter's like, okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
Nothing suspicious here whatsoever.
What's that demon look on your face? I don't know. I don't know.
But why did your voice drop when you went, cross my heart?
What was that dramatic music pause for?
Why did the camera zoom in on you there? I don't understand.
Weird. Anyway.
She goes to what is kind of South Dakota, and the one that she's trying to catch is Kahori, and you're like, wait, Kahori's not evil. What the heck is going on here? She's not a universe killer. And then Kahori says, no, we can work together, and Strange sucks him in. And what do we find out?
That he was lying.
Yes. Yes, he was lying.
He wants to remake his universe that he destroyed in season one, because he is overtaken by grief for losing his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a never-ending quest to save his girlfriend.
Nice. So they basically have to kind of stop him, but he's really powerful.
He's really powerful, and he's gonna kill them all. So the solution to this is to release a bunch of the universe killers.
But also the heroes, because Kahori says he's been collecting universe killers, but also universe heroes.
He just wants a bunch of powerful people to feed to his forge, exactly. So he can reforge universe.
Because
you need a lot of energy to forge a universe. So you can see all these people, like, trapped in these gems kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like gems.
There's a lot of Easter eggs in that, and it's kind of cool.
So much fun.
You gotta, like, ponder what they're from and what they were doing. Are they heroes? Are they villains?
And you may have seen them, and you may not have. I am a personal fan of Western Loki. I think he was a hero.
You think, yeah, probably.
I
he's
was
like
really
the gunslinger.
Very much gunslinger. And he rode across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
Yeah, he's gonna go to the Dark Tower.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so she releases a bunch of them, and they have, like, a big battle royale.
A la Cabin in the Woods, the elevator scene.
A little bit like Cabin in the Woods.
Less
where
bloody.
They release all the demons that, like, kill...
Yeah.
To save the universe, they have to kill the teenagers. If you've never seen Cabin in the Woods, very good horror film.
Very good. Very much not school appropriate. Not child appropriate. Not...
It's not that bad,
It is
though.
Definitely 18A.
But it's not that bad.
No, but it's 18A. And we have Captain America's in it.
Yeah, he is. And the director of the original Avengers movie...
That's true. He wrote and directed it.
He wrote and directed Cabin in the Woods, even though he's blackballed now. But anyway...
Joss Whedon. His name is Joss Whedon. Yeah. I can say his name.
Okay. Yeah, so it feels a little bit like that, but I also think this should be their inspiration for how to make a really cool Secret Wars.
What? That would be really cool.
Secret Wars, you just have to go for it.
You just have to go for it, yeah. Before we get to, like, kind of what happens here at the end, did you have... you were talking the Easter eggs and all the different guys. Did you have any that were your favorites that stood out that you were like, hey...
Well, it was so quick, and I liked how they all kind of, they had, like, quick little interactions. They're playing off each other. You got some Ten Rings going on.
Yep.
You got, like, a super-powered Hulk. He's got, like, green swords. Like, I'm pretty sure he just killed Loki and took his, learned magic from Loki, like, made Loki teach him.
Could have.
Because that seems like something Loki would do. He would, like, hey, I can teach you magic if you don't smash me anymore.
Yeah.
Puny god kind of thing. Yeah. maybe that's what happened. I don't know. That was pretty cool. But of course, the best part was the callback to the zombie episode.
Yes, that was my favorite.
When Zombie Wanda comes back and is like, I'm Zombie Wanda and I got a bunch of zombies.
And also, still my powers, by the way.
not to be outdone by Hella coming in and being like...
Hella the White.
No, not Hella the White. Not from the early episode. She's like, no, these are my zombies because I control the dead. So yeah. Screw you.
So that was a whole big
thing. Riding Fenrir, who we learn, of course, is her like little puppy.
Yeah, it's a little puppy. So that was also my favorite scene in there as well.
Oh, so good.
So good. But I really liked... So they're all fighting, and then kind of Kahori and Captain Carter are like trying to team up to stop Strange, and they don't she's trying to reason with him, but she's aware that like his demons have literally taken over him. And but as he starts trying to feed the heroes and villain and universe killers to the forge, and then as he does, Hela's the first one who she grabs, takes her crown off, and she tosses it.
We get a cool power up moment. Of course, we haven't mentioned that.
Oh, I forgot the first power-up moment. That was a big one.
Peggy Carter gets to suit up in, like, the Infinity suit that Killmonger had in the first season.
Black Panther Killmonger.
Black Panther Killmonger gets, like, sucked out of it by Kahori. And that's kind of cool. But, yeah, we get Infinity Stone Peggy Carter, who I thought this during the episode. She's not thinking. She has all six Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
She's just fighting mostly with the Power Stone. She's thinking power the whole time, right?
Yeah.
She needs to think a little bigger. She starts learning. Like, I mean, she only had it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She starts learning.
That she starts playing with it.
She starts learning, but yeah. So a lot of the universe killers and or heroes start giving them their power. Their big MacGuffin.
Yeah.
You get your Hela crown. You get your Mjolnir.
Mm-hmm.
You get
10 rings.
You get your 10 rings. You get Odin's spear.
Yeah.
And they kind of use all these things to fight. That's how strong Strange Supreme is.
Yes.
By the way,
they both pick them up. Like Kahori's got, I think, Mjolnir and the 10 rings. And
she doesn't pick up Mjolnir, so she's probably not worthy. She just uses magic to pick it up. Which
oh,
is kind of
that's
an
interesting
thing to
You're
think about.
You're right. Yeah, she did never pick up magic. Because when she first did, I thought, because she was grabbing stuff and throwing them at Carter to use, I thought that's what she was doing, but you're right, she was wielding it, but she was wielding it with magic.
With magic, yeah.
So her magic is worthy, but she herself is not.
And magic's not a person, so magic isn't worthy or unworthy. It's like vision, right? Like,
right.
Does an elevator, is an elevator worthy?
Oh my god,
it's
no,
like...
we're not doing that. We're not doing that. So anyway, and they have this big battle, and... I don't know if we want to say what happens.
No, there's a big battle. And
there's a big battle.
And
it's
a
very
bunch of,
cool.
Bunch of power-ups and a punchy-punchy. And, I mean, Peggy Carter wins.
We can say that,
Captain Carter wins. The universe doesn't end because that would be unfortunate. We'd be all dead.
Yeah, we would all be dead. but at the end, she opens her eyes and she's hanging out with the Watcher has shown up. Again, they have been interacting the last couple episodes. They've actually been communicating.
Yeah, so in season one, it starts off, the Watcher's like very distant. You can barely see him in the episode, and he's like narrating, and he's like a typical narrator.
Yeah.
And then every episode, he kind of becomes more corporeal.
Yes.
And closer, and then suddenly, like, Strange Supreme is the first one, can hear him.
Right.
And then... as the season continues on, Ultron can also hear him.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the big climax where the Watcher's like, well, we gotta stop him. Like,
these
Nexus beings can't continue, et cetera, et cetera. This season is... it shows Captain Carter as being basically a Nexus being because she can hear him, like, in every episode that she's in.
Yeah, during the second last episode, she's like, you know I can hear you, right? He's like, what, you can't? She's like, well, sometimes.
It's very interesting. So, like, they're putting her up as a Nexus being because she's like goes through all these time periods and like saves a bunch of things, and so she saves the day at the end of this season. And he's like, okay, well, I'll take you back to your universe, but there's something you should see. And this
asks if they can take the scenic route.
Right. She's curious. She wants to she wants to watch a little bit too. She's seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What's a little bit more?
Exactly.
You're a little curious, and. This is a big spoiler.
Oh, okay. Wait, hold on. We're gonna say it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a big spoiler. So if you don't want to hear this, Here's your moment.
And it's only a big spoiler if you've seen Loki.
Right, okay. Here we go.
So, at the end of Loki season 2, he's become the god of stories, and he's woven all the disparate universes into a new world tree, and that's like the big climax, right?
Right.
So the Watcher shows Captain Carter the world, like the same world tree. It's the same one.
It's like put them side by side.
Like a direct callback.
One is animated.
And it's like, huh, that okay, so we're doing this now.
You said you wanted them to go for it. They're running.
So all the problems aside with Kang, the multiverse saga is still in full effect, and they're probably gonna base it on Loki's.
I think they're gonna lean into that a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
So world tree, multiverse, woven universes.
Figure out what that world tree is, because it's gonna show up apparently lots, I guess, because we're leading right into that. I was gonna ask you your favorite episode.
Yeah, 1602.
It was.
But like I said at the beginning, zero duds.
No, they zero were all duds. So good, all so good. One more thing.
The Iron Man on Sakaar one might have been the worst one, but that's just because it was kind of out of place because it was in a reference to season one.
Right.
But it was super fun.
It was super fun, super good. Like, I had such a good time with it.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I really liked this season. We also watched, they released a sneak peek for season 3.
Yeah, so we don't know when that's coming. It just said coming soon, but it was like a 2-minute clip of one of the episodes. It wasn't a trailer.
No, it was like a scene.
It was a scene from season 3 and
with Red Guardian and Bucky Barnes on a road trip.
It was basically like, what if Bucky and Red Guardian go on a road trip? That's what
it
felt like.
And Samuel Jackson tries to stop them. I don't know.
No, that was Forrester. That was Goliath.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't Sam Jackson. That's right. So overall, we're giving this one gold stars. This is so good.
Yeah, no, I was hopeful, but like my expectations were super high, and it was better.
Yeah, like, I was hey, we're gonna have some fun, and I'm really looking forward to Happy Hogan Saving Christmas. And then just like so good.
It speaks to the power of what you can do with animation.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of go for it a little more. They need to get back to going for it in live action.
Agreed.
Is what I think.
So we have you're talking Nexus beings here.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of leaning towards Captain Carter is now one.
She can see, hear, and talk to the Watcher.
Strange Supreme is whatever. And Loki, we're assuming
Loki super
as,
super
like,
duper is yeah super duper yeah
on that level now is the okay. So I wanted to come back just briefly with that last final scene to talk 1602 with the storytelling.
Yeah,
this is what you kind of alluded to before.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we go to 1602? Do you think?
Well, so it's interesting because the what if moment, we don't find out till the end of 1602, but the what if moment is, what if Captain America damaged the Time Stone in his battle with Thanos in Infinity War, and it sucks everyone back in time to the Elizabethan era, which is super random.
Yep.
And also Loki's there, and Loki was dead in Infinity War, at the beginning of Infinity War.
That Loki was.
So something different happened. I don't know. I mean, it's a different universe.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be that. But I just think Loki's a drama queen, which they actually say in the episode.
Bless.
And he just wanted to be a Shakespearean actor.
He did. First run Shakespeare. First run Shakespeare and outdoor plumbing. They say is what it is.
And Loki's canonically in control of all the universes now.
Yeah.
So here you go.
Yeah. He got to perform Hamlet in the Globe Theater. That's
the
Globe Theater.
Globe Theater.
That's insane. So yeah, I honestly, he's a drama queen and just wanted his. when they're hurling through space, he's like, you know where we should go.
Yeah. Go see my buddy Bill.
He's writing this new play. don't know if you've heard about this new play.
It's about Iago.
It's really about Iago. man, that was fun. You're going to invent a drink.
Oh, no.
It's called The Watcher.
Oh. The Watcher.
The Watcher.
Okay.
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 Okay. So you're going to invent a drink called The Watcher. What are we having? What are you having?
Well, it's The Watcher is just a quadruple espresso martini.
Why quadruple?
So you can see time and space, obviously.
Oh.
So basically,
you can hear colors. You know you are eventually gonna have to drink this, right?
Oh, I'll drink it.
Oh God. Okay.
So it just has quadruple the espresso.
Okay.
And double the vodka.
Okay, so it's more coffee forward. This
yeah.
One. Okay. All right. You can see time and space. Yeah. That would do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Anything to add about this? Before we go outroing?
I'm excited for my The Watcher drink.
I'm terrified. So that's our show this week. Thanks to El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, which is disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and that's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts as well as links to our email. You can find Disney A episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please be sure to recommend Disney A. And if you could rate or review our podcast, we would appreciate it a lot. Next episode, we are theoretically, like we said, going to attempt Echo.
Yes.
And if not, apparently we're deep diving Golden Zephyr.
Deep diving the Golden Zephyr. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, and we're also going to have like a serious discussion on traveling as a magic key holder, the pros and cons of
if we're laying it out, and like that's going to be a bigger conversation. We do typically like to give everyone a week to watch.
Yeah.
The new thing,
that's why I'm throwing that out there. I think we're going to have a decent discussion of that. I don't know how I kind of like this one where we didn't, like, spoil everything of What If.
Yeah, and there's only five episodes of Echo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we'll keep it, we'll see. We'll see.
We'll let you know before the episode, well, when the episode starts. Not before.
Yes.
We can't project thoughts into your mind.
Right.
We haven't achieved that technology
no.
yet.
Loki probably could.
Yeah.
Loki can do anything.
Oh. Okay.
So until the next adventure, I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
So you can see time and space, obviously.